So as you can see, I am a Bronco fan. You guys know that. And Peyton Manning, he is going to the Hall of Fame. And I'm very excited about that. And today, if we would have been meeting in person, we'd have a Jersey Sunday. So I just still wanted to represent. And I am really excited about the Super Bowl today. I know sports is not everybody's thing. I think most of you guys know that I love sports. And so for me, it's something I can relate to. And I do think most people at some point in time, they end up going to a Super Bowl party or something. And, you know, what's different this year for me is, you know, now, you know, I have fun no matter who's playing in the Super Bowl, because usually we're at someone's house and we're fellowshipping with people. So there's fun whether or not you like the teams playing. But I haven't always been like that. If the Broncos weren't in the Super Bowl, I really didn't care, you know? And so Super Bowl Sunday was, you know, more about, nah, just kind of doing whatever, as opposed to watching the game. And if you guys know anything about the Denver Broncos history, that even when, you know, it was, you know, always focused on the Broncos, and that was the only time I was ever happy is when they were in the Super Bowl, you know, I could also be pretty negative when they were playing those games. I wasn't just happy that they happened to make it to the Super Bowl. And that's because four of the first Super Bowls the Broncos ever played in were complete blowouts. And I think you all know that one of those is at the. So with that in mind, you know, there was times that I could be negative. So if the Broncos fell behind, or if a player was injured, or, you know, because of history past, I would get kind of negative. I'd be like, oh no, they're down by 7 points. They're down by 14 points. Oh, they're not going to win. And what I didn't realize is that attitude, that negativity, it affected people around me. And unfortunately, even several years ago when Peyton Manning joined the Broncos, the first time he had played for the Broncos in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks, I believe it was 55-10. And the very first play was a flounder by our center trying to hike the ball to Peyton Manning. And I started getting negative. I don't even think I finished watching the game, and it affected the people I was around. And so a few years later, when we did win the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 50, I didn't know how to feel. And it was really interesting how my negative feelings because of things of the past, how it affected me and it affected others. And this doesn't just happen to be sports related. I was thinking this morning, I was talking to Emily about movies. Have you guys ever been a real big fan of a movie, and all of a sudden, because of contract negotiations or something, the star that you love, they didn't carry them out into the sequel? And so before you even see the show, maybe you find yourself saying, I don't want to see it. Or how are they going to do this without that person? Or they recasted them. And you have this negative attitude. And I know I've seen this in my own life with people that I'm like, hey, let's go see this movie. It's the new one. And they're like, yeah, but that person's not around anymore. That person's not in it. It's not going to be any good. It gets to be kind of discouraging, and it's simply a movie or a sporting event, but someone's negativity has affected the group and affected that person. And there's a great story about negativity and how it affects other people in the Bible. We find this in Numbers 13 and 14, and this is a story about the Israelite spies that God wants Moses to send into Canaan, into the promised land, to go and check out what it looks like, go see the people, go check out, you know, is it a fertile area? Because we know that the promised land, it's this land that is flowing with milk and honey, and that's not literal. It means it's a very fertile area. It's a great place to live. And so that's what we see in Numbers 13, that God tells Moses, send 12 spies into the land, have them look around, and then have them come back and give a report. And so they did that. And after 40 days, the spies come back and they give a report. And they say, it is truly a land flowing with milk and honey. It's amazing. But then they add, but there's some real heavy fortifications there. And there's some pretty strong people there. You know, we can't do this. So they're really negative, despite realizing that it's an incredible place. It is just like God promised and what it would be like. And then Caleb, he was one of the 12, or he's one of two of the 12 spies. So there's 10 that are very negative, two that are positive. So Caleb, the first one of the positive, he gives his report and he says, you know what? We have to believe God. And if we will focus on him, if we will be obedient, he will bring us into the land, because he's already promised this to us. And then the other spies, they come back with another negative message. And they're like, no, we can't do this. And they take that negative message and they exaggerate it. They make comments like the land, it devours people. And they're letting the Nephilim, these huge giants, they're there. There's no way we can do this. And they take that message to the people. And so the people start grumbling against Moses and Aaron. And then we see Joshua. He's the other spy that comes with a positive report. And he tells them, you know, that again, we can do this, that God can bring us to the promised land if we will delight in him and if we don't rebel. And I love this part. It says, and if we don't fear the people in the land. But unfortunately, no one listens to Caleb. No one listens to Joshua. And they all say, let's stone them. And so what is it? What is negativity? This thing that can so change an outcome of people, an attitude. It's a bad habit, something that can affect us and affect our outlook on things. What is it? Well, I saw this great definition. It said that it is a tendency to be downbeat, disagreeable, and skeptical. It is a pessimistic attitude that always expects the worst. Negative outcomes are bad outcomes, like losing a game, getting a disease, suffering an injury, or getting something stolen. Matt was talking about that in James 1. These are the things that we can count in pure joy because we learn from them. Because we are sick doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It means, you know what, we can persevere in prayer. We can persevere in our faith. That's what James is talking about. And so there are positive outcomes out of negativity, but we have to realize that. Negativity is often a lack of trust. And this lack of trust can be in a person, it can be in a situation, or ultimately, negativity can be a lack of trusting God. So what causes this? Well, it's interesting that, you know, many psychologists, they believe that negativity comes from people's desire to protect themselves from negative stimuli. So they view it as a form of self-preservation. So negativity, it has its roots in fear, your fear of things happening or fear of things not happening the way you want. And this can cause people to dwell on negative situations. Because in their mind, they're wanting their negative situation to change. They're wanting it to be different. So they're thinking about it and thinking about it. And this can cause people to beat themselves up. Maybe they're thinking, you know what? I made this mistake at work, and they keep thinking about it all week long. They become fixated on it. So they're beating themselves up. They're thinking, I'm not good enough because I made this mistake or I did this thing wrong. They can also lash out at others. Because if we lash out at others, it takes the spotlight off of us. So that's something else that happens with negativity. And those people, they become critical of others. They focus on their faults and their struggles. This is another kind of negative person. Or because of negativity and people focusing on it and dwelling on it so long, people may enter situations from a pessimistic viewpoint. They're assuming the worst. Just like those negative spies. Oh, you know what? Yeah, it's a great area, but we can't do it. There's too many challenges. It won't work out. Maybe you know some people like that. And sometimes these are really sarcastic people. Again, another defense mechanism. I remember experiencing this myself when I was preaching one of my first sermons. After I had finished preaching, I got a lot of great feedback from people. But then one church member came up to me and they said, you know, you have to be really sure that you're reciting scripture correctly. And I was taken back. I'm like, what the heck is this person talking about? I had no idea what they meant. And so all day long, I was agitated and I was upset and I was replaying my sermon in my mind. I even went to the length of looking at every single Bible in the church to figure out what version of the Bible was he looking at. And that's because I wanted to protect myself from preaching heresy. And I wanted to keep this from ever happening again. And also, to be quite honest, I wanted to prove him wrong because I knew what passage I was looking at. I knew what version I had got it from. But come to find out, he was using the 1984 version of the NIV, and I was using the modern updated 2011. So in a way, we were both right, and we were both wrong. But you see how that negativity and that dwelling on something, it affected my behavior. It affected how I thought of someone else. Here's just a side note. You guys, I may have shared this with you, that my favorite version of the Bible that I feel is the most accurate for what we're trying to do, it's the NASB. And in 2020, it was updated. So you're going to start seeing little verbal changes. And this happens. And it's great that people kind of, they don't change the meaning. They're just trying to get the Bible maybe in a way people would understand it relative to our time. And so the NASB was updated last year, and you're going to start to see that rolling out, that people are going to start using it. Another cause of negativity is the media and how the media plays upon negativity. Research has shown, as I mentioned earlier, that people have a tendency to think about and dwell on negative events more than they do positive. The story I just shared about one of my first sermons, it's a great example of that. That even though I got such encouraging feedback that could help me grow as a pastor, I was so fixated on the negative feedback I received. And the media knows this. And that's why the majority of the news reported, and there's all sorts of research, there's all sorts of marketing research on this, that the majority of the news that we see on TV, that we listen to on the radio, or that we see online, it's negative. And that's because negativity sells. And so if you're wondering why so many people were so agitated, especially last year during the election, it's because that's what the media wanted to do. They sold it that way. And so you need to be aware of that, that what you listen to, I preached on this, what you're around, it affects you, and it can affect your negativity or your not being negative. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how does this negativity affect us? Besides dwelling on things over and over, you know, typically, if you have a moment of negativity, and we all do, maybe you got a bad grade, maybe you got a bad report from the doctor's office, maybe something came up at work, maybe you got a flat tire, the list goes on and things that we can be upset about, that we can be a little negative about. And normally that comes up, but once the challenge that we're faced with, once it improves, you know, once you change your flat tire, you get to work on time, usually you're good. That negativity, it dissipates, it goes away. But prolonged negativity, it can affect our health. If you stay in that place where you are negative, you're pessimistic, you're doubting things, it can affect your health. That's why research has shown that there is a link between negativity and anxiety and depression. And if negativity, you know, if it's allowed to really take root, it can become your default way of thinking. And this affects personal relationships. It affects your daily activities. It affects your job, your volunteering. And sadly, it can affect your faith and the faith of others. And I'm sure you've all experienced this. Maybe this is you yourself, or maybe it's someone you care about, someone you live with. I think a great illustration of this is found in Disney's Winnie the Pooh. I've shared this before, but I think it's such a great example that Eeyore, the little donkey, he is one of the most negative characters around. He could find fault. He could find doom and gloom in any situation. There's a couple Eeyore quotes that I found. One, he found his tail because, you know, he had the little tail that you had to pin on him. And they were talking about that and how he found it. And his comment is, well, most likely I'll lose it again. And he says it just like that, a depressing voice with a depressing comment. And then another time, I think they were talking about a prize that someone could win. And his comment was, I'd say thistles, but no one listens to me anyway. And again, that's how he says it. It's so depressing and discouraging. But here's the thing. Eeyore was lucky because Eeyore was a cartoon. And so in the Winnie the Pooh series, even though he was negative, some positive things could come out of that. But we live in reality, and negativity can cause us so many problems. Things don't work out like they do on Winnie the Pooh. So negativity, we have to pay attention about how it affects us and how it affects others. I want to give you a list of some traits or signs that someone may struggle with negativity. And I want you to really take this to heart and ask yourself, is this me? And do some deep soul searching, because it'll be easy to say, that's not me. But some other people may say, yes, it is. So a negative person or someone that struggles with negativity, they always worry. Or I would say they often worry. They are often a pessimist. They look at the negative of any situation. Just like Eeyore, he should be so happy he found his tail, but before he's thankful that he found it, he's already saying, I'm gonna lose it again. Are you like that? Are you the person like, oh, it won't happen again. Oh, this won't. Or maybe you're saying God can't, but God just did. Why are you saying he can't? Is that who you are? They complain a lot. Someone that struggles with negativity, they complain about people, about life, about everything going on around them. They struggle to see the blessings. They don't like to move out of their comfort zone. They're happiest where they're at without change. And honestly, they're not reaching their full potential. And as Christians, this is the sad part. What that means is spiritually, they're probably not maturing in their faith. Because they're so negative. How can you grow if all you ever think about is the negative things in life? If you don't think that God can, or you don't think that God will, then how are you going to grow? Because our faith itself, our faith is about faith. It's about trusting and believing that God can and that he will. But if you're struggling with negativity, you're probably not growing in your faith, in your trust and belief in God. So then how exactly do we deal with our negativity? Because we're seeing that it's not a good thing. Well, one, it's awareness. 2 Corinthians 13:5 in the NIV, it says this. It says, examine yourselves, right? So even before you start with anybody else, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. So we need an awareness. We need to ask ourselves. We need to know ourselves pretty well to say, am I a negative person? Do I look at the worst in things? Am I not believing that things can improve and change? Do I always think about how the Broncos lost all those Super Bowls, so I'm already going to assume they're going to lose all the future ones? You need an awareness of if that is you. Next. Acknowledge your negativity. Own it. Be honest with yourself. Say, yes, I understand. I am a negative person. Now, don't stay there, but acknowledge it. Because it's important to understand that negativity can absolutely be a sin. It's a sin if it causes you to live hypocritically. And several weeks ago, we talked about what it means to be a hypocrite, to say and believe one thing, but to do the complete opposite. If it causes other people to stumble, if your negativity causes other people to doubt, other people to complain, other people not to think God can or that he will, it's a sin. It's also a sin if it causes you to live by the flesh and not by the Spirit of God. And then I have a fourth one here. It says, it is a sin if it causes you to speak against God. It's a sin. So that's why it's so important to be aware and then to acknowledge our negativity. And we also need to talk to others, because sometimes others see things in us that we don't see ourselves. And that's hard to do. It's hard to take real criticism, real critiques. Another, characteristic of negative people. They like to point out the flaws in others, but they surely can't look at their own. And if someone brings up any flaws in them, they get upset. You may know people like this. I know I do. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24 in the NLT, it says this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." How convicting is that? It should be. God knows our hearts. And we should say, "God, please point out anything that offends you. Anything that I am doing that is not what you want me to do, point it out to me." That's the kind of Christians we need to be. That's the mature faith we need, to be able to go to God and say, "Lord, if there is something wrong with the way I am living, if I am not being obedient to what you and your word and your will has for me, show me it." In James 5:16 in the NASB, it says this: "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much." In other words, if you're struggling with negativity, and if it is the point where it is sinful, confess it to someone or ask someone, say, "Hey, brother or sister in Christ, am I a negative person? Is the way I'm living, is the way I'm thinking, is it affecting my life and others? Pray for me that I can be healed, that I can be delivered of this negative spirit inside of me." And through that, so many amazing things can be accomplished. We also need to learn to truly trust God. And I will say, we need to learn how to truly trust God more, because I believe many of us, we do trust God, but we need to trust him with 100% of our minds and 100% of our hearts. And one of the keys to doing this is remembering how God has blessed you. And we talked about that recently. Last week, we said that the fact that we experience salvation through God means we are blessed each and every day. And we also have to develop and be very intentional about developing a truly thankful heart. Because our true thanksgiving, that understanding that we're blessed, it comes from our heart. We need God to change our hearts, to work on our hearts. And this last one, I love this one. We have to say no, or we have to stop our negativity out loud. We have to speak it out and say, "No, I won't be negative no more." And we have to take every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the ESV, it says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Every thought. Every thought that is not in obedience to Christ, we have to take it captive. That means all of our negative thoughts, whether those negative thoughts are about ourselves, those negative thoughts are about other people, those negative thoughts are about God, those negative thoughts are about our situation, we have to take those captive to the obedience of Christ. Because if not, we get caught up in dwelling on those negative experiences. I want to close with this to reinforce what we're talking about. I want to finish up that story of the spies, to let you know kind of how this all played out. So after we see the positive reports that through God, the Israelites could have gone into the promise. And I said could have, because we know that that's not what happened for a while. So I want to read from Numbers 14, verse 11. This is God's response to Moses with the negativity or the negative reports that come. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them. I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make you a nation greater and mightier than they." God's not happy with their distrust and disbelief. So he's saying, hey, I'm going to deal with them because I'm kind of sick and tired of their faithlessness. But Moses, he intercedes and he says, you know, God, don't do that, because, you know, then the Egyptians who you just freed the Israelites from, they're going to say God couldn't do it. He brought them out, but that's it. He never got them to the promised land. And so God relents. As we continue down to verse 20, this is what ends up happening. Then the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to your word." So God's forgiven them because of their mistrust in him, not believing him, even though he promised them the promised land. Verse 21, it says, "But truly, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice." Remember, he had brought them out of Egypt. He provided manna for them. He divided the Red Sea, all these incredible miracles that he's done. He's saying, all these people that have seen all these incredible things that I've done, but they still continue to be disobedient. Verse 23 says, "shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he is a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." So what he's saying is what happened. That's why they wandered for 40 years, is because God said, "I'm not going to smite you. I'm not going to destroy you and get rid of you. But I am God, and I am just, and I am making this judgment that because you never believed, you didn't have the faith, despite everything I've shown you time and time again, how I was there for you and I provided for you, because you keep disbelieving, I'm not going to let you see the promised land. I won't hurt you, but you're not going to go to the land of milk and honey. The next generation will, but you won't." And I want to end on that, because I don't think we often think about how our negativity affects others, but it also affects us. And maybe sometimes we are missing God's blessings because we don't trust him enough. Because even though God has shown himself in incredible ways, he's shown up when we have needed him, he's done miraculous things for us, that we continue to be faithless. We continue to doubt him. So I want to encourage you to think about that this week, to think about that bad habit of negativity. Are there things that you are doubting God can do? Are there times when you are being faithless? And maybe God's saying, you know what? I'm not going to have all these terrible things happen to you, but this incredible blessing that I had right in front of you, because you're not trusting and believing me, you're not going to get to experience it. Church, it breaks my heart to think that any of you could be missing out on some of God's wonderful promises, especially knowing that it may be because of you. It has nothing to do with him. I want to pray for us all that this week the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, and we move to that right place of obedience and understanding what God wants for us. Because I want Peninsula Hope to walk into the promised land. I want to experience the promises God has for our church. But it means each and every single one of us has to have the faith to believe that God will and God can. Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord, and we know you have the very best for us, Lord, that you have a land and milk flowing with milk and honey for Peninsula Hope Church. If we, Lord, will be obedient and trust you, Lord, help us to be those who give a positive report besides what the world says. Help us to be those, Lord, that when we see your blessings, we say, you know what? God did it once. God can do it again. Lord, we come against the spirit of negativity. Lord, we don't want it. We don't want it to affect people around us. God, help us to be those people, the next generation, those people that walk in your promises. Lord, we love you. Holy Spirit, help us to be those people. We pray this in your name. Amen.